physical education research. This is episode 57 and, in a new venture and a shift of focus, explores a new edited book, Pedagogical Cases in Physical Education in Youth Sport. The first podcast in this new endeavour explores Cathy Armour's introductory chapter, Pedagogical Cases Explained. This is an audio version of the PEPN blog that can be found at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Putting Humpty Dumpty back together again. The previous blog, the last using papers from Routledge's four-volume book, Physical Education, looked at change not as a whim but as a journey. It argued that we, as human beings, give up on ideas too quickly, perhaps because we head towards change without realising the effort it will take to begin, let alone sustain it. The blog argued that change is difficult, and without recognition of this, it's unsurprising that we often fail to move forwards and instead stay just where we have always been. This week's blog marks a change of direction and a change of book. Drawing on the 20 chapters and 19 case studies located in Cathy Armour's edited Pedagogical Cases book, the blog explores the case studies of 19 individual and fictitious students aged between 5 and 16. These young people, presented as complex and dynamic young learners who deserve to be taught and coached by practitioners who draw on a wide range of multidisciplinary knowledge to devise appropriate interdisciplinary learning encounters. Over the subsequent 19 weeks, I will explore each of these cases again from a pedagogical perspective, but this week I start with Cathy's introduction to the idea of a pedagogical case. My take-home message: the implications of the research on practice. To some degree or other, we are all engaged in multidisciplinary degrees. To teach, and increasingly to coach, you need an undergraduate degree, and these degrees are, by tradition and perceived necessity, multidisciplinary. My degree started out to cover everything that my university offered, at least within my department. And, as I moved through the course, I was required to specialise. I moved from a broad spectrum of knowledge, including, but not limited to, biomechanics, physiology, sociology, psychology and philosophy, but worryingly, given my eventual career, not pedagogy, to a specialised knowledge. Similarly, the undergraduates I have taught for more than 5 years have had a similar experience to me. Even those who undertake four-year undergraduate degrees in physical education are expected to cover the sub-disciplines of sports science as well as pedagogy. The trouble is, from an insider's, as a member of staff, and an outsider's, as a student, perspective, sub-disciplines don't talk to each other. We, as psychologists, philosophers, and biomechanists, occupy the same buildings, teach in the same space, meet in the corridors and teach the same students, but we don't talk shop. We joke about the hardness of statistics and the softness of interviews and case studies, and generally get along, but we don't talk about pedagogy. The same can be said about schools. Subject areas keep to themselves, and even though we use similar transferable skills, we don't talk about our students as single learners, at least not outside of the school. Yes, we write reports, and yes, these are all gathered in the same place, but are they ever discussed as a whole? The only people who do this, in my experience, are form tutors and head teachers / principals, in their summary comments at the end of the report. Yet these are drawn not from conversations and interactions, but from their interpretations of the report. Students, in both cases, are viewed in isolation. They are not, perhaps, seen as dynamic individuals on a learning journey, but as several individuals on a subject-specific journey. What would, does happen when we stop thinking about children in silos and we think about them as dynamic cases? What happens if they become engaged in interdisciplinary learning encounters? Some of the most valuable and memorable experiences I had at school was when they collapsed the timetable and created whole school learning experiences. Why? Because knowledge became an interlocking and yet holistic construct rather than something that sat in different pockets around the school. The danger is that when we look at students from isolated positions, we don't see everything of the individual. Similarly, when we see things like knowledge, but also pedagogy, as fractured and fragmented, then we lose track of the links. We sever ties rather than build them up and make them stronger. What this week's blog and Armour's book sets out to do is put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Let's look at the chapter in more detail. Armour sets out to create a new way of looking at teaching and learning, more specifically pedagogy. Drawing on examples from other professions, such as medicine and law, and placing students out front as dynamic rather than deficit cases, she argues that we need to move towards a situation where research closes rather than maintains the knowing-doing gap. Knowledge, i.e. knowing, is currently produced and refined in different fields. We know a huge and increasing amount about human movement, but that knowledge often remains in the fields where it was created, and infrequently, at least not quickly, makes its way to the field of practice, i.e. the doing. In other words, the knowledge that sports scientists gain through their work is discussed in their field, but it doesn't always, in fact Armour would argue frequently, make it over the fence to its neighbouring sub-disciplines, PE or youth sports context. As a consequence, the next generation doesn't often hear the good news, so to speak. In contrast, pedagogical cases are defined as translational research that crosses boundaries. Armour suggests that a pedagogical case compromises three elements: a learner case study, multidisciplinary perspectives on the case, and an interdisciplinary yet pedagogically focused overview that seeks to bring the multidisciplinary strands together. In this way, Armour positions individual pedagogical case knowledge as a move away from research designed to merely demonstrate knowledge towards research that has the power to close the knowing-doing gap. However, and building on her previous work, Armour acknowledged that pedagogy, and by default pedagogical cases, consisted of three complex dimensions that were made more complex when they interacted. 1. Knowledge in context. 2. Learners and learning. And 3. Teachers stroke teaching and coaches stroke coaching. This is made doubly complex when learners are approached as whole people who participate in life both in and out of school and who are therefore subject to numerous opportunities to learn, understand and apply their knowledge in practice. The truth is, even the most skilled of practitioners can only hold and utilise a finite amount of knowledge. The question is, what types of knowledge do teachers and coaches need to be relevant to the learning needs of their students? Perhaps only by inviting others into our classrooms can we begin to look at the intersections where knowledge overlaps. Perhaps by starting to ignore the arbitrary boundaries imposed on us by subject areas and timetables, we can truly be said to be approaching the learner as a whole. At present, students are expected to bring their multidisciplinary perspectives to each lesson and apply them to each new context. Shouldn't we, as sports science pedagogues at all levels of education, be able to talk across our discipline silos? Worryingly, while this is at least possible for me, after all my institution subscribes to journals across many disciplines, Armour suggests that it is difficult to see how teachers and coaches can keep up to date with new developments in their subject field unless there are specific enabling mechanisms. This, as I hope the next 19 blogs will show, is where pedagogical cases start to come in, as potentially enabling mechanisms that provide multiple interpretations from different disciplines of how to engage, support and promote the educational and health outcomes of physical education and youth sport. The cases offer much needed translation of academic findings. The cases draw on perspectives from different fields of sports science, such as biomechanics and psychology, and I hope offer a well-considered, broad and informed perspective of how to develop meaningful, relevant, current and impactful approaches to teaching and learning. So in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, your lessons and your context? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com/news.aspx. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Pepin podcast on major themes in physical education, where I will discuss Lane Harrin's and colleagues' pedagogical case about Sophie. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this blog and in getting it out on time and in a semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Note: there are hyperlinks often in the blog that are not noted in the podcast. Please see the blog for the full story. Thank you.